Thank you, worship team. Well done. And Merry Christmas, everyone. Does it feel like Christmas out there? I think I'm going to put my shorts on and go for a swim today. One of the earliest Christmas songs, poems of Christ is in Luke chapter 2. It's called the Song of Simeon. We're going to look at the verses today, and then we'll sing Silent Night. If you didn't get a candle, there's some at the back. If you'd want to grab one while I'm talking, that's okay. It won't bother me. And then you can participate in our candle lighting at the end. Let's read the Word of God. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was a righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord, as the law required, hold that thought right there. So the Gospel of Luke focuses our attention on Simeon and his firsthand experience with Christ. Simeon was probably an old man. He was righteous. That means he did right in God's eyes. He was devout. That means he was practicing his faith. And there's something else about this old man. He's eager. He's very eager. For what? For the coming of the Messiah. And who is the Messiah? The Messiah is God's promised king who would come to God's world for that ultimate rescue, not just for Israel, but for the salvation of the whole world. Simeon is eager for God's king, for God's rescue. So he's as ready for Christmas as anyone can be, righteous, devout, and eager to meet God's Christ. And he's also listening to God. Somehow the Spirit of God had communicated with Simeon that he would not die until he saw the Messiah face to face. Well, at the same time, something else is going on. Joseph, Mary, and the baby Jesus, they also go to the temple for different reasons. They go to perform their religious duty. Notice it says they did what the law required. Well, what law is this? Well, the Old Testament law. And Luke explains this because he's not writing to a Jewish audience, and we don't know what these requirements are. So the law required three things for the birth of Christ. First, the baby boy had to be circumcised on the eighth day. We assume that's already happened in Bethlehem. Second, the firstborn son had to be brought to the Lord at the temple. Every Jewish family did this. And third, Mary had to come to the temple for her purification ceremony. Now, the timing of these ceremonies means that Jesus is about 6 weeks old when this happened. And Luke wants us to know that mom and dad, Joseph and Mary, they're doing everything. They're devoted to raise their firstborn son, Jesus, just as the law required. Now, Christians read this and say, wait a minute. Jesus is already God's holy son. Why does Jesus have to be presented to the Lord? Well, this was done not for Jesus. It was done for us. I mean, Jesus' mission in this world was to rescue us. And that means that all of the righteous requirements of the law had to be fulfilled somehow. And Jesus would fulfill them all in order to save us. If Jesus had sinned one time, he would have been disqualified to save us as our sinless Savior and rescuer. So what happens next? We have this divine appointment. That's those times when God puts us in the right place at the right time to meet the right person. So Simeon will meet Christ face to face. Verse 28. Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people Israel. Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Every now and then I listen to a podcast. I listen to a purple podcast about the Minnesota Vikings. And there's a tagline in this podcast that says, "Before we die." And they often say, "We just want to see a Minnesota Vikings Super Bowl win before we die." Right? How long have we been waiting for that? Waiting and waiting and waiting. Well, that's Simeon. But this day, when he goes to the temple and holds the baby Jesus, that's the Super Bowl win of his life. He's ready to die. "Lord, just let me go home now. I've seen the best this world could ever offer me." Simeon's words are a very famous church tradition. In Latin, "Nunc dimittis." Say that at least once every Christmas. "Nunc dimittis." It means "now dismiss." When Simeon says, "Now dismiss your servant. Just let me go home. Beam me up. I've tasted the best this world could ever give me in seeing Christ." Or as we read here, "Let your servant die in peace." So here's Simeon. I've got a picture here. And I like what J.C. Ryle said about this moment. "Simeon speaks like one for whom the grave has lost its terrors and the world its charms." Cindy and I went to see Christmas Carol at the Guthrie this week. And I love watching the transformation of Scrooge. And I usually cry, of course, but that's not unusual. I cry in a lot of movies. But watching him go from bah humbug to being merry as a schoolboy, it's just fun to watch. And in the Christmas Carol, Scrooge is being transformed. We could say he's being transformed into a Simeon. And he's being rescued from the ghosts of his past and present and future and all the regrets and the pains and the guilt and the fear of death and judgments gone. Gone when he understands the meaning of Christmas. And Simeon teaches us something very important about real faith. Faith is not just your subjective feeling, inner feelings or wishes. Faith is not just objective facts and duties that we know and we practice. And faith isn't just about getting rid of our fears. Faith, true faith, needs an object beyond this world that we can trust in. True faith is extrospective. It looks away from ourselves, from our feelings, from our feels, and it looks to God and his promises. True faith looks to God's light, God's glory. It trusts God's promise, King and kingdom that is coming. And Simeon also teaches us something very important about Christianity. Christianity is a rescue religion because we've all fallen short of God's way, God's law, his standards, and we can't save ourselves. We need God's rescue, and we need God's rescuer, and that's Jesus, only Jesus. Do you remember what the name Jesus means? It means the Lord saves, the Lord saves. Jesus saves. Only Jesus saves. He is our rescue, past, present, and future. And let me say this, none of us are ready to die. We're not ready to die until we have that face-to-face encounter with Jesus. We're not ready to live either until we see God's purpose in his King. Well, now the song of Simeon changes from these major chords to a minor chord, and even Mary's not prepared for what she's going to hear next. Verse 34, "Then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, the baby's mother, 'This child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall and many others to rise. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul. I was digging through a bin at home, a Christmas bin, looking for Christmas decorations. We have a bin where we've collected 40 years of Christmas ornaments, and I found this one, this Christmas ornament. Have you ever seen one like that? It's a spike, and I'll hang it on the tree today. And it reminds us of the painful side of Christmas, that in order to rescue us, Christ would be rejected and pierced, and Mary would live to see it. So here at the very beginning of the birth of Christ, we have this reminder of his painful death. Both are announced that first Christmas. And Simeon here, he makes three future predictions about Christ. First of all, he says people will rise or fall when it comes to Jesus. And I take that to mean people will rise up when they meet and welcome and receive Christ, and people will fall by rejecting him. Jesus is an immovable rock, and we just can't ignore him, and we just can't get around him. We rise and build on the rock of Christ, or we stumble and fall. So our destiny depends on how we respond to Christ. And second, we learn that hearts will be revealed, will be exposed, and people will divide over Jesus. Jesus is the sign sent from God to this world, like a road sign that says one way. We have to decide if we're going to go that way or not, or if we're going to turn and go our own way. Will we follow Christ or go our own way? And third, we learn that Christ and his followers will experience pain and suffering. And Mary will be pierced. She will watch Jesus be pierced and hanging on a cross. Cross-bearing is in every Christian's future. Jesus promised it. But this too is also a blessing, because Jesus said, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." 600 years before the birth of Christ, another prophet spoke about the suffering Messiah. It's in Isaiah 53:5. "He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." Brothers and sisters, this is good news. Christ has come to rescue us from sin and death. So we can see how powerful these verses are in Simeon's song, and it just leads us to the question, are we among those who will rise this Christmas, or are we among those who will fall, who will get tripped up this season? Let us trust Christ, welcome Christ to free us and heal us, past, present, and future. Let me close with a story about Gary Wozniak. Gary Wozniak was one of our elders here, and most of us know him. He died on November 9th, and we had his memorial service on December 9th at Crown College. At the end of the service, people shared stories and memories about Gary, and it was so enjoyable, and Gary's neighbor stood up and had a story to share. And she stood up, and she had this humorous, tragic story on her mind. It's about one day when Gary's neighbor noticed a bird had fallen out of the nest. So she went over to Gary's house and knocked on the door and said, "Gary, you got to get out here. A bird has fallen from the nest. Come on out here and help that bird get back in the nest." So Gary went out. He brought a ladder, propped it up against a tree, started climbing that ladder with the birdie, and as he was reaching to lift that bird in the nest, that ladder went sideways, and Gary went flat down on his ribs. And I don't know if he cracked his ribs or broke his ribs, but if you've ever had that happen, what's the difference? It hurts. So the neighbor went to the house and called for Cheryl. Now, Cheryl's a nurse. And she said, Gary has fallen. And she says, he's fine. He's fine. Well, he wasn't fine. So they called the rescue squad, and they tended to Gary. And then as that emergency truck was backing out of Gary's driveway, it ran over the bird. Say, Pastor, why would you tell such a horrible story at Christmas? Well, I had to fit it in somewhere. And what is the lesson? The lesson is this. And we have to get this. We make terrible saviors. We just have to get out of the savior business. The mess that we live in and the mess that we are can't be fixed by ourselves. There's no ladder that can help us save ourselves. We can't save ourselves. We can't save anybody else, not even a bird. That's why Christmas is such great news. Because God sent to us the Savior we need. The only Savior that could ever save us. And that's Jesus. He's the great rescuer. And listen to me. He took the fall so that we don't have to. Receive his gift of life this Christmas. He knows your hearts. He knows today how eager we each are to welcome him and see him as our Lord and Savior. Will you do that today? So that's the song of Simeon, and I hope that our hearts sing with him about the greatness of Christ. We're going to close our service, and I'm going to light my candle with the Christ candle. And then, as the worship team comes, we're going to sing Silent Night, and I want you to spread the good news about Jesus, and to do that, we'll symbolize this. I will light a couple of candles, and then I want you to pass the light around to our friends who are here today. Amen? All right, let's stand together.